back tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern time for the ministry there on Facebook and things. Had 2 weeks off of there. I've been busy and doing a lot of different things. The timing is not there. I mean, I'm devoted to the ministry, what I do there, and sometimes things come up, and that's what I've taken care of. So I've got a whole new series of messages coming up on that. Excited to be part of that and to get that back out there again. Amen. Glad I'm saved. Amen. I hadn't changed. Still saved. Nothing the devil the world do about that. I'm still saved. Amen. Ain't nothing I've done but what God's done for me through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just going to keep on. Let me get to Philippians also. It was last week. We was at a grace conference also down in Arab, Alabama with Jack and them, and had a good time there, good teaching, and been part of that for the last 3 years, too. And well, I tell you, it was good singing. I tell you, good talented folks there play the guitar, the piano, and sing, and the teachings well. Really enjoyed all that, too. Of course, Brother Stephen M's up in North Carolina now. I hadn't talked to him. I asked Mark, and he said he hadn't talked to him. I'm sure he might have had a good traveling time. And I pray that they'll have a good traveling time back as the rest of the people there. Amen. So to continue on the understanding of the Scripture, and so today in Philippians chapter 1, we're going to look at this, recognizing the difference. And in your King James Bible, Philippians 1, Paul writes these down to Philippians, and we can take it to heart also about comparing things that differ, seeing some things that's different in Scripture, and recognizing the difference in Scripture is key to understanding your Bible. It's key. If you do not recognize the differences and the different things in the Bible, what it says, to whom it says it, to when it says it, and where it says it, to whom it's talking to, then you're going to say, well, everything in the Bible is for me and I need to apply it all to me. Well, that's just silly. You can't do that. You can't apply everything in the Bible that's taught doctrinally and everything. You can't apply that to you. You just can't do that. And for someone to do that, that's just silly. Does everyone do that? No. Well, then hence there's the denominational doctrine or denominational idea today that there, because folks would pick out, well, we can do this, and we're doing this because somebody came by our church 150 years ago and said this is how God wanted it, and we just fell into that, right? I mean, that's how it starts. Everyone, you can't take everything in the Bible and say, that's me. And so, hence, you have local churches, local fellowships, if you will. They practice certain things in the Bible and certain things they don't practice. Why? Because, well, the freedom of this country and the freedom of religion, it's your Bible, okay? This is your Bible. This King James Bible belongs to you. All right? You can borrow a lot of things from me, but you really never can borrow a Bible. You understand? It's your Bible. You are told to study. You are told to learn it. And if you're going to sit there and listen to me and try to take everything that I have the heart, which you should, I hope you do, I'm just going to give you the Bible. I care what you learn, and Brother Steve and others care what you think, but I want to show you why and the differences there. But if you just take what I say, that's it, that's all I've got, and Brother Brian said it, well, bless God, that's how it's going to be. Well, then that's foolish, to say the very least. You're not going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ if you get there, if you are a saved individual, trusting what Christ done for you by the cross of Calvary, His death, burial, and resurrection. You're not going to stand there in judgment for the things that you did or did not in this body and the doctrine that you have by just taking to heart everything that I say. Well, I'm just going to believe everything and just do that and I'll be okay. No. It's not going to happen, okay? So Philippians chapter 1, your King James Bible. Philippians chapter 1. Verse number 9. And this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until when? The day of Christ. So Paul says, the study, approve the things that are excellent, okay? To try the things that are different. And the result, when you try the things that are different or try the things that are excellent, if you try those things, well, then what you're doing is 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul says there, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. What you're doing then is you're cutting straight. You're making a difference in things that really, when it comes down, are spoken to you and are for you today. All right? See, the difference is in Bible. The Bible says different things about the same subject. Amen? Different things about the same subject. And that's what you got to recognize there. So the result is to discern that which is of real value, Paul is saying. We need to discern and recognize things that are real value, that are genuine, that are excellent or different. Well, the sense of it in the Greek is this, is the idea that if Paul wished for them, to be able to distinguish between the things that are different from each other. The things that differ. And that's basically dispensational and progressive Bible revelation, Bible study. Amen? And that's, you're sitting here today. Why? Why are you sitting here today? You recognize things are different. Right? You recognize those things. When I was in the Baptist minister, there's churches of Baptist church right on the door, whatever it is, right? No, whatever. But there's some of those Baptist local fellowships that I knew that I would not step in the door. Do you know why I would not step in the door? There's things there they taught, even though I was a Baptist ministry and minister, I didn't agree with. Now you're catching on. Okay? Things different. People understand that things are not the same, right? And you are the same way. Don't sit there and say, I'm not. Because you are. You wouldn't be at a certain fellowship if they taught things that you didn't agree with. Correct? Things are different. People make their mind up. So, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15, to study shall thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Right dividing is cutting straight. Things that differ. You put it with Philippians. Things that differ. Make a difference. Cut straight. Things that are real value to you. Amen. Real value. And Paul says, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to get into this and we'll find our groove. Amen. Y'all just hold in there. We'll get the groove. Let's get to going here. And when I get the groove, good luck keeping up with me. I'll have to slow down. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't say that being facetious. I mean, that's just how I am. I like to get in the row. When I got a hole, I like to get in the row and I like to start holding. Amen. I don't look back. I don't look forward. I don't even pick my head up. I just get to going. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, or chapter 2. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul puts it this way, comparing things that are spiritual with things that are spiritual. Verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So Paul brings another application out. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You think you're spiritual? Well, compare your ideology, your thinking of spiritual, with the Word of God, which is spiritually written. Compare the Word of God with the Word of God and see how spiritual you really are. Amen? Comparing it. Being spiritual in the Bible is taking the things that the Word of God teaches and applying it in your life. That's spiritual. Spirituality is not you running around a church house with an American flag saying, praise God. Okay? Scaring everybody out in the neighborhood. That's not spirituality. It's not walking on the bleachers or walking on the pews going, praise God, and start saying something nobody really understands but you, and you don't really understand it. Well, that's not spiritual. Spirituality is discerning the Word of God and applying it in your life. That's real spirituality. That's spirituality. If I ask you, are you saved right now, and tell me why you're saved and by which gospel is it that saves? If you can tell me according to the scripture, right, divided, understood, well then that's spiritual. You're going to stand upon the Word of God, what it says. Then you are spiritual in that sense. Amen? If I can talk you into being saved, what can I do also? I can talk you out of it. Amen? I can. So you're going to trust the Word of God. So it's apparent. The Lord said in John 6:63, He said that my words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Word of God is spiritual and it is life in the Word of God. Amen. 2 Peter 1:21, Peter says this about the Word of God. It was given, written by not by will of man, but by holy men of God. As they spake, they were moved by the what? By the Holy Ghost. So they wrote the Word of God down to be recorded in your King James Bible by the Holy Spirit that moved in them. Is that possible? Yes, the Lord said. The Lord also said in John 14:26, He said the Comforter, in John 14:26, He said the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, shall teach you all things and bring into remembrance the things that I said unto you. So is it possible for any man who was given instruction by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to write something down that he heard the Lord say, or something that's even since Genesis chapter 1, Moses wrote that down, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. How many thousand years was it passed since he wrote that down? Think about that. But yet he wrote it down. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit, by God himself, to write it down. So Paul was given things in Ephesians 1, he's speaking of, that was given and promised to the world, promised to us, the body of Christ, as we now know by the revelation of mystery and things, promised before the world began. Okay? It's the Word of God. Men wrote it down. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:37. 1 Corinthians 14:37. You're in 1 Corinthians, I think. 1 Corinthians 14. In verse number 37, Paul will say this. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So Paul, again, being an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a new dispensation of a new revelations and things given to him, says that the things that I have written to you are the commandments of the Lord. And if you think you're a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Spiritual. The Word of God is spiritual, written by holy men of Moses, moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Did you know in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, be ye followers of me? Followers of me. So Paul says that his words also are what? The commandments of the Lord. So there's something coming together. Again, in 1 Corinthians 4:16, be ye followers of me? Again, Paul speaking to that. Thanks. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. See? So, but by Scripture, it's profitable. Why? Because it's God's Word. Amen? It's written by men of moved upon by the Holy Ghost. So God's Word is not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. There are missing books they say belong in the Bible. I don't think so. I think that all 66 books in your King James Bible are where God put them there. Do you believe that? Amen? Do you think you need anything else if it's not inside your King James Bible? I've got hope for you. Amen? No, there's nothing else to be added to the 66. These things are perfectly written and perfectly in order. Amen? There's nothing lacking there. And when Paul comes along, and the risen Savior gives Paul the mystery concerning the body of Christ, the mystery of fellowship, the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of those mysteries revealed, the catching away of the church and those things, even the preaching of the cross, and gives his mysteries to him. And when Paul fulfills his course, he would say, if you will, in Colossians chapter 1, your King James Bible. Look at Colossians chapter 1, familiar verses. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. He would say, Paul would say, whereof I am made a minister. This minister Paul is given is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 9:22 and Acts 26 speaks of Christ sending him out to the Gentiles. Okay? He mentions it again and again, but he says in verse 25 of Colossians 1, I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill what? To fulfill the Word of God. Okay? Now here's the thing, and I'm not getting into whether you think Revelation was written after Paul's ministry or John. I don't care. It does not matter. It's neither here nor there. Because Paul's ministry to fulfill the Word of God has nothing to do whether the 66 books are complete in your King James Bible. Amen. Okay? Paul's ministry was complete when he wrote the last words to 2 Timothy. It's over. Do we understand? You can believe what you want. I'm not here to tell you what to believe. But Paul, when he finished his ministry, the Lord given him, his ministry for the dispensation of the grace and the things there was done. Complete. So if you want to know what God's doing today and compare things that differ, Philippians 1 and 2 Timothy 2, understand a dispensation of the grace of God, Ephesians 3 and 1 in a revelation ministry, and what God's doing today, where would one must go? Paul's got 13 epistles, and that's what we're looking at there. So with Paul, there's things that we are understand, there's things that we must distinguish in Scripture. Because Paul's writings are quite a bit different than the rest of your King James Bible. So if you take away Genesis, you go from Genesis all the way up to a book of Revelation, you take Paul's 13 epistles out of it, that lines perfectly. With prophecy, prophets, and things that are coming to pass through Israel and the world through Israel to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to the Father. Perfectly in line. Perfectly in line. Okay? Perfectly in line. But when you put Paul's epistles in there, well then there's something different. And it starts with the mystery. So Paul tells the Philippians, back to Philippians chapter 1. So back to Philippians chapter 1. Let's move this water bottle over. Brother Steve knocked the bottom out of that, looks like. Look at Philippians chapter 1 again. Verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, where? In knowledge, and in all judgment. Your love of the Lord, and the Lord's love for you, that mutual understanding, that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense until the day of Christ. We are told to distinguish the things that's different. He wants our love to abound in knowledge and understanding and perception. Perception, to understand and perceive. Why would he do that? So we can distinguish between those things that differ, that we can analyze, that we can discern, and we can begin to understand and compare the things that's different within the Word of God. Simple as that. So, the Bible, we would say, the Bible is written for all of us. It's written to all of us. Right? I mean, it's 66 books. You can read it. But there's some of it written directly to folks. And when you get to Paul's epistles, and we'll cover a little bit of it, you can see, well, that's different, and it's written to someone other than Israel and the Gentiles through them, okay? So if we look at the promises, look at the promises in the Bible. Let's look at this. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13. The Lord's talking about the time of Jacob's trouble and tribulation. Okay? He says there in Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 13, the Lord simply began to give him instruction and warning and exhortation of things to come. And he says in verse 13, concerning that time, do you endure that? The time of the Antichrist? He said, verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Again, when you go to Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, take this to note. In those Revelation 2 and Revelation chapter 3, you have seven churches there. The idea of those seven churches there is Jewish. It pretty much says, try those that are Jews and are not. Okay, it's a Jewish prophecy, and it's backed up by Jewish doctrine. Okay, but in those seven churches, every one of them has the admonition to overcome to the end. Hold fast that which thou hast. He that overcometh shall eat of the tree of life. He that overcometh shall drink of the water of life. That's the idea. It goes right along with the time of tribulation and those things there. Okay? For the Lord, and that's what is given them, the idea is to overcome. Revelation 14 and 6, there's a gospel. The Bible says that then the angel was sent for him with the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on earth. So when you look at Revelation 14, the time of the Antichrist is reigning there. So what is the everlasting gospel? Fear God and give glory to Him. That's good news to people living on earth if you're living through the tribulation. If you're there and you can't buy nor sell, as Brother Steve taught, you're going to need somebody to give you some money and some food, okay? They're in during the time of the Antichrist. He's giving them instruction during the Antichrist era what to do. And they, for you, if you're living at that time, the church, the body of Christ, is not. We'll see the difference in Revelation 14 and 6. There is no mention in Revelation 14 and 6 of the gospel. There is no justification by His blood. There is no gospel whereby you're saved. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, by His death, His burial, and His resurrection. There's no Romans 4:25. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. It is not there. When you come to Paul, we're looking at things that are different. So when you come to Paul's ministry in Galatians chapter 1, you're all familiar with it. And I'm going to read it along with some others. But in Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, Paul says that he's going to deliver us from this present evil world. Verse 4 of Galatians 1. Notice what it has to do with. Something God's done for us. Say, verse 4, who gave Himself for us, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to who? The will of God and our Father. That's different. Deliver us. Again, in Romans chapter 5, in your King James Bible. Romans chapter 5, Paul brings out here in his writings, compared with what we just read and what you know about. Romans 5, verse 9, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from what? Wrath through Him. Why? Because we are justified by His blood. Meaning you believe the blood is shed on Calvary's cross for your remission, redemption, and forgiveness. And verse 11, and atonement. By whom we have now received the atonement. The whom in Romans 5:11 is Christ. He's preaching the power of God. The preaching of the cross there. The finished work of Calvary. Delivered us from the wrath of God. Does it get any different? What about 1 Thessalonians? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in your King James Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 10. And to wait for His Son from heaven. His Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He raised from the dead. There's the gospel. Okay? Even Jesus, which delivered. So that's a present tense at the time, and it's still present tense today. When you trust Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, who died for your sins, is buried and rose again the third day, the resurrection, justification of life, and that gospel Paul preached, guess what? You're seeing things that are different. This is not Matthew 3:1-6. Where Israel's there, repent, confess your sin, believe Christ is the Son of God, and then what? Be water baptized, showing your faith that this is the Messiah. It's not there. Our faith now is in what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18, verse 17 and 18. That's why Paul would say this, for Christ sent me not to baptized, meaning the water. So it's different. Can never have done that before. For the preaching of the cross and them that perish. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved it is what? Alright, we're not believing in His life and Him being the Messiah, the Son of God. We're the King of Israel. We are sitting on the throne of David, as Peter preaches in Acts 2 and 3. Okay? We're told to believe in the death and the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are justified by His blood, we have peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul says there, look at 1 Thessalonians, we're still there, right? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 9. Talking about the wrath, the time of tribulation. Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. Man. Verse 9, for God hath not upon us to what? You can't say that if you're living in Revelation. You can't say that in Matthew to John, he that endures to the end. You can't say that. So now the viewership And you men and women and fine men and women here, each one of you are, I'm sure. Okay? You see here? Well, that's different. That's different. And when you understand the differences, you'll live your life totally different than you've ever lived it before when you understand what the difference is. So, we're understanding your King James Bible a little bit more. Amen? Just a little bit more. Okay? So, there's something here. So, why is this possible? Why are we delivered from the wrath to come? Paul teaches us. And why are we not going to endure tribulation? Why are we half delivered, present? Why are we delivered as believers? Why? It's because we're living in a time where it's preached to us the grace of God. Paul says, Acts 20:24, is given him to preach the gospel of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, notice he said, you're saved if you keep remembering what I preached on you, how that Christ died, saved. Keep in memory, remember. Don't fall back to the Jewish theology, the Jewish ideology, and the Jewish customs and find your justification there. Find your justification in the preaching of the cross. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 in your King James Bible. This is new news. New news. Romans chapter 3. Verse 22. And folks don't even understand the law. Some will say, well, Peter didn't preach the law. Well, he didn't. Dang, he's preaching the same message. You're just not me. You're missing. And I'm not going to preach. I shouldn't have brought it up. Sorry. We'd have got into it. That's a whole other card, ain't it? Boy, but that card is full. Amen. This card is full and it's good to teach. Look, verse 20, 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all upon all them believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through what? The redemption, the buying back of the Lord Jesus Christ through His blood. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be propitiation through faith in His what? Alright, faith in His blood for the remission of sins that are past. That remission of sins that are past to me. Paul's trying to unite the body of Christ in His Acts ministry. What does them people know? Jews and Greeks, what do they know? The law. Daily sacrifice. Paul says, no, that's none. Christ finished that. Let me tell you a little something. Alright, to me it's just as simple as that. It's no deep theology there. All right? It's very simple. I think the Bible is very simple. We're just too highfalutin. We got to go, well, no, it's got to be deeper than that. Right? Anybody, old Joe can figure that out. I can't be like old Joe. I got to come up with my new idea. I don't think it's nowhere near that deep. And I think we need to take it at face value and just see the differences. Amen? And then when somebody like me get up here, or like myself, I'll get it right. And I teach it, and it's just the same. If it wasn't that simple, I couldn't understand it, folks. There's just no way that was going to happen. No way. And so we see here, faith in His blood. That's different. Faith in His blood. Satisfied, justified by His blood. Through the redemption in His cross. It's the cross. You see, it's different. We have delivered. He saved us, and He sealed us. You can't be saved and sealed by the gospel, the repentance of sins for Israel, and the kingdom message. That don't bring assurance. It's not there. But when you preach it, you are in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, the baptism by the Spirit into Christ. And you're sealed. Well, then that means God sees you in Christ. It's different there, right? And so we see those things. So those things is different. So we're putting the Bible study, we're putting it to work. What are we doing? We're just discerning the things that are written. It's different. This is what we did. There are differences in the Bible that must be recognized and applied. And those differences, folks, they're revealed to us, to the reader, and they reveal to us God's will, God's purpose, God's promise, God's working for us, for mankind, according to His purpose. Okay? In all the dispensation of the grace message is Paul's epistles is something God's doing for the world, for us. It's done and completed. And we're going to walk according to that. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4:1. So when we understand God's will and purpose, when we understand that, but comparing things that differ, okay, and cutting straight the Word of God, rightly dividing the Word of God, knowing that all Scripture is given to us, but we don't apply it all we can. There's different things, okay? Different things going on. Justification by His blood, the preaching of the cross, the live from the wrath of God. Those in Matthew to John, Hebrews, Revelation have no such thing without them enduring, overcoming, and keeping the faith and doing things that way, showing their faith, those type of things, faithless works. Well, we understand the will of God, we understand what He's done for us through the cross by the gospel of the grace of God. We're sealed, justified, and have peace with God in things, right? Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to us which are in Christ Jesus. That's the theme in the grace of God. And the Bible is the gospel of the grace of God. So we understand that. Then we can understand our walk. Then we can apply what God's given us in our walk, in our daily life. Amen. And recognize who we are. Amen. Ephesians 4:1. Paul says, therefore, the presence of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation where you're called. Uh-oh. So if we're going to understand, we need to understand the will of God and His purpose, what He is for us and what He's done for us and who we are in Christ, then we can actually start walking worthy of the vocation. If you want to understand God's will for the world and for Israel, well, you're going to go back to Matthew, to John, Hebrews, Revelation. You're going to go, I've been missing out on this. I got to get to work. Right? I got to start doing some things. I got to prove my justification. I got to prove my worth. You got to do those things, okay? But in Paul's gospel, because it's grace, a completely new message, not just a little grace, not just grace for here, for there, but for grace for the world to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and the preaching of the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection, that means there that you're saved and sealed and God sees you in Him. And Paul says, the word of the Lord, look at verse 3, keep a unity of the Spirit. There's one body, one Spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, above all, and through all. And Paul goes on, he says here, we understand the will of God, right? To walk worthy of Him, there's some things we need to know. Paul says in verse 11, and He gave apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of what? The body of Christ. So He's going to edify us, to help us, to grow up into this one new man. Amen? United in one new man. Alright? The body of Christ. By the knowing the things that differ in things Paul teaches in what we are in Christ. What we have in Christ. Okay? Understanding those things. Because, look, Ephesians 4 verse 30. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 4 verse 30. Keeping this same idea about recognizing different things. Ephesians 4:30, Paul says, engrave not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're what? Sealed until the day of redemption. So, we have been given the Holy Spirit. God's not going to remove the Holy Spirit from you. You are not King Saul. This ain't 1 Samuel. Okay? You're not under laws and orders. You recognize that, right? The Bible said that the Spirit of God came upon Saul and he prophesied. And later on, at the end of Saul's life, closer to it, and what he's going through, the Bible said the Spirit of God removed from Saul. God will not do that for you. Because this gospel, the grace of God, says, in Ephesians 1:30, engrave not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto what? The day of redemption of what? Of your body. Amen? Your body. Alright? Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 chapter 13. Or Ephesians 1 chapter 1. Not chapter 13. That ain't been written yet. I'm working on it though. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. In whom you also trusted after you heard what? The word of truth. What is that word of truth, Paul? Well, the gospel of your salvation. What's the gospel of your salvation? The gospel Paul preached. The believing, the finished work of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom also you believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the redemption, the purchased possession, the praise of His glory. Does that sound like the same sealing that those folks in Israel and the kingdom message Matthew to John has? Well, it can't be, can it? Because what do they have to do? They have to endure. They have to overcome during the time of tribulation. And the gospel that's going to help them when you're under that rule of Antichrist, when He preached the everlasting gospel, go, whew, thank God. And they will. Thank God. He ain't forgot us. I'm fearing God. I'm giving glory to Him. That's another gospel. See the difference? Things changing, right? Things are different. That's why we'll recognize it in your King James Bible. If you don't recognize them, then you will be confused. What time is it? Got another 30 minutes, don't Mark? So I really got some things I want to point out here that's really important. Amen. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 15 and 17, you don't have to go there, you can. The Lord institutes a Sabbath day to Israel. Do you know what he says in that? He says, he that worketh on the Sabbath day, what? Be killed. Go there and look. Just as simple as that. Now, God wrote that down, did he not? Did he not? It's an everlasting covenant. Keep the Sabbath, and he that worketh be put to death. That is what he said. Turn your King James Bible and read it for yourself. But Paul, in Colossians 2 and 16, by the same God, now listen to me, the same God in the same Holy Spirit says these words. Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect to the whole day or the newborn Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the what? The body is of Christ. So those things are coming back once you read about the millennial temple. All right? After all, God's going to fulfill his promise to Israel. But right now, let no man judge you. In other words, it doesn't mean anything because the body, we are the reality of what God wants us and has us and what we've trusted in the Lord. Amen? We have it all. Ephesians 1 and 3, what does the Bible said? He has blessed us with what? Spiritual blessings where? On earth? No, that's right. Amen? What does the Lord teach his the apostles to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19? He says, if you trespass and so forth, but he says, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. Israel's got a kingdom on earth. That's what the Lord says. Pray that thy kingdom come. Amen? Paul says in Colossians, since we're in Colossians 3, look at Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not things on earth. What are we doing? What have we just done right there? It's apparent things are different. Ephesians 2 and 6, where the Bible says we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're comparing things as different. And that's what we're doing. Now I want to give you one more real good one. All right? I want you to know some mystery things Paul brings out and some revelation being known. So Christ came and he was born of a virgin. He died. Just like what? Bible said. Does that mean the body of Christ was prophesied when he died? No. Of course not. That's silly. Does that mean that Christ died for the sins of the world? Don't answer that question. If you don't know, I'm going to give you the answer and you make up your own mind. Don't say it out loud, even if you do know. Isaiah 53, let's go there. Isaiah's prophesying about he that's coming. It's the testator is what it is, a suffering servant. Israel was in the forefront. All the promises and the covenants and things in the forefront. That's what we've got here. Everything is by them and through them and about them. Okay? Isaiah 53. Isaiah's writing it, a Jew. What does he say? Verse 1, who bear our report? For he shall grow up, verse 2, the tender plant, out of dry ground, no form of calmness, and we shall see him. Who's the we? Who did he come for? Israel. Romans 15 and 8. For Christ is the minister for the circumcision to fulfill the promises God made unto the fathers. The we, Israel. Very simple. Last part. No beauty that we should what? Desire him. So, verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our. The Bible testifies this in the Gospels. Our. Verse 5, he was wounded for our. Not me. Don't know that. You don't know anything about that. Now you're, if you do that, you're going, well, I'm going to Paul's Gospel. This is for the body of Christ. You don't know that right there. You don't even know that if you don't take Paul's Gospel out of it, 13 epistles. You do not know that. Not for the body of Christ. Okay, so but look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, hath put to him the grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his what? Your Bible says it. You say it out loud. It's okay. Shall see his what? Seed. Well, word of Christ, what's his seed? Born in Judah. He came into his own and his, first John chapter 1 verse, and his own what? Okay. Now, so we see there, his seed. It's for his seed, right? Okay. For his seed. And let's skip a whole lot of work and go to Matthew chapter 1. Do I like skipping work? You better believe I do. Matthew chapter 1. I say work harder or smarter, not harder. Harder. Smarter and not harder. When you get to be, how am I, 52? When I was in my 30s, I'm going to get done. When I turned in the 40s, I was like, it's time to do something different. It's work smarter, right? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The book of generation of Jesus Christ, the son of, oh, hello now. There's your seed. That's who you're seeing. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, here. Hebrews. Who's the book of Hebrews written to? Okay, I don't know. I never understood why that's difficult. Number 2, it's all about the Old Testament and New Covenant. That's all it's about. You're not in there. A Gentile, if you're there, you're a dog. Nothing. It's not about you. The world through Israel is there. But not you as independent going to the Father himself through the finished work of the cross. Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. For verily he there is Christ, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him what? So he was born of Abraham, but what did he do according to Isaiah 53? That for all we know then, without Paul's gospel is, as Nicodemus said, Zachariah said, him that to redeem who? Israel. Uh-oh. So we're talking about a little bit of progressive revelation here, a little bit of learning, right? Look at verse 17, Hebrews 2. Wherefore in all things it behold him to be likened to his, okay, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to make reconciliation for sins of the people. Okay. That's why he came. That was what we know. He's born a seed of Abraham. He's going to take care of the seed of Abraham because he's the great high priest, so forth and so on. We see those things there. That's coming. The new covenant, Hebrews 8 through 10, Jeremiah 31, those things. But now, we come to Paul's gospel. Now it's not centered upon a certain people. Now it's centered upon what God's doing, right? What he's done. What's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 6? Let's read that. 1 Timothy 2. You know the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's different. Now, I want to throw in this. I didn't go Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2, Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. No. Read that and you get specifics about the sins of the people for Israel, so forth and so on. Our earthly people. Earthly people. God's got a heavenly people, the body of Christ, and earthly people, Israel. Okay? Purpose. One cross, one death, one Savior, dual purposes. Amen? I ain't going to get into that, of course. Now, he says here, have all men be saved, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for what? You didn't know that before. Progressive revelation. Looking at things that differ. Recognizing some things, right? Recognizing some things. Same amount. Recognize some things. We'll recognize some things here today, right? Recognizing some things here. Things that's different. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 and 21. What does the Bible say? For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Read it. Listen to me. Listen to me and read it. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, them's the world, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is that, verse 21? For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, the believer, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Titus 2 and 11, what does it say? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath what? Appeared unto all men. You didn't know that outside of Paul's gospel. So what are we doing? Things that differ. That's all we're doing. Was that really hard? No. What are we doing? We're just recognizing words. To whom it's written, what it says, to whom it says, and what we know about it. That's all we're doing. And you at home and here, and that's comparing things, that's recognizing differing things in your King James Bible. Recognize them. That's what that is. As simple as that. And we're recognizing those things. And back to Philippians 1, verse 9 and 11. And it must be clear to all of us, that if we fail to distinguish between the things that differ and to rightly divide or to cut straight the Word of God, proving the things that are excellent, we will be insincere. We will be of offense. We will be shameful. We will be disapproved of God. Amen? Insincere. I'd rather hear a preacher, a person who's not really sure where they stand, and somebody go, well, bless God, I believe this, and you know it's wrong, it's terrible, and they said, ain't nobody going to change me. My mama tried to, my daddy tried to, my grandmother, the deacons tried to change me. I'm not, bless God, I'm not going to. You really can't do nothing with them. Just give them a word of God like you do anybody. Well, we need to be sincere. Because Paul says, 2 Timothy 2, 1, for I know whom I believed. And am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed him against that day. Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to what? Die is gain. 2 Corinthians 5, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God eternal. We know. And I know that I'm saved. Have eternal life. My hope for you today is to know the very same Savior and trust Him. He paid your debt. He rose your justification. And guess what? He's coming back to receive the church one day. Amen? To meet Him in the air. God bless you. I hope it was a help to you. It wasn't a whole lot here. The Lord, like Brother Steve says, and I do, I cut my teachings short all the time. I go on and on and on. I open up a whole lot of stuff here that deserves more time. This deserves more time than I gave it today. But y'all pray for Brother Steve and them's coming back, and Lord willing, I'll be back on the air tomorrow night at 8, and I may get a little deeper in this, but I got some series of studies coming, and most of it's basic, but you know, it's the basic things that we miss that we mess up on. God bless you. Take care of yourself. Brother Mark, y'all have anything? Y'all have a good afternoon. Amen.